inspires you? I remember as a kid playing basketball, we used to pretend whoever was one of our favorite greatest players. And of course, on a basketball court, you're usually talking a lot of smack, you know. And it's, you know, you're Dr. J, Julius Erving, you know, or Larry Bird, you know. Of course, that dates when I was playing basketball, but, you know. And, you know, you would make crowd noises, and you would make cheering noises, and it was just you and the kids, you know, playing ball. What inspires you? Sometimes as kids, we played soldiers. Especially like for my family, we grew up around military bases. We saw soldiers. We saw their drill. We saw their practices. We saw their training and things like that as kids growing up. We watched movies as kids. And we would see different characters would inspire us and things like that. And as you get older, you begin to recognize there are different ways to be inspired. There's a story about the boy who has a brother who is basically wheelchair bound, and he went on these runs and he took his brother with him every run event. We heard about the GI that was injured by an IED, lost his legs, and the community came around him and they remodeled the home, basically, so it was handicap accessible. The kitchen counters got lowered. The bathroom counter and sink got lowered so that he could do those things from the wheelchair. There was a ramp placed outside. And when you hear about these things, you are inspired by compassion. We hear the stories about people who deal with cancer and the struggles of that. Or people with a family member who is ill and how they give up their time, their energy, sometimes their career to be their caregiver. We're inspired by those who went to high school to get their diploma at the age of 70. Or college at the age of 80. Because they never got to go. Or when they did start, they had to stop. And they never graduated. Today's lesson is more than just being inspired. Although there is that in the text. And it talks about Paul's example. But it's how are you empowered to be the one who inspires? Today's lesson is not simply looking at other people or looking for other people and challenging them, I dare you, inspire me, you know, kind of thing. As if you aren't inspired, it's all their fault. But what happens in this reading for today from 2 Corinthians? Let me build the context for you. The people at Corinth had a lot of problems in their church. Some of them thought they were too smart for God. The other problem is they had some false teachers in the community taking the membership and trying to influence their thinking. In fact, to influence specifically against Paul. Things like, Paul doesn't love you. You think Paul cares. And it was really vicious. It was of the devil. And Paul doesn't lash out. Instead, he simply tries to present the truth, not only about himself, but more than that, about God. The truth about God. Because if he stops with the truth about himself, he's only defending his own actions. But if he talks about the truth about God, now what God does applies to them and to Paul. And it becomes even more personal. I sat in a chair. How different this message would be if I was in a wheelchair. That was my lifestyle. Then talking about standing up and doing all those things and getting up and going to get the chocolate, that wouldn't have happened in the same way. But this message is about the gospel that empowers us to serve, to love, to have compassion, to endure, even to suffer, all for the sake of God's witness among the people. The disciples in the midst of the boat, in the middle of the storm, panicked because they forgot that God the Son was with them. And they even asked him, "Don't you care that we're perishing here? You know, like, how dare you go to sleep?" And you could imagine in a comedy routine, all the disciples would be going, you know, the drama of it all. And Jesus comes into the midst of that. And there he tells the storm to stop. And what he's showing them is that the power of God will sustain, protect, and do that which God desires among us. And Paul's life is an example of that power of God. It's not about Paul. It's about the God who created Paul. It's about the God in whom Paul trusted. And he gives these comparisons. You can follow it in the second reading. He talks about, by great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, and hunger. Do those sound like fun times? No. No. But this is what happens. By purity, by knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. With the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor. In the midst, in other words, in the context of his life, through slander and the praise. And he recognizes that we are treated as imposters, and yet we are still true. We are treated as unknown, and yet we are well known. We are treated as if we are dying, and yet the truth is, behold, we live. We are treated as if we are punished, and yet we're not killed. We're not dead yet. We are treated as sorrowful, that is more to be pitied, and yet we are still rejoicing. We are treated as poor, and yet the reality is we are making many rich by the gospel, the good news of salvation. We are treated as if you got nothing. And yet, the reality is, according to God, we possess everything. So why did he go into this list? We go to the start. Working together with him, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Through all the hardships, through the suffering, through the challenges, through the awkward and uncomfortable, through the great mountain high top experiences, and through the lowest of low valleys in your life, God is with you. And the message of salvation, because now is the favorable time, says Paul. He's talking about the time in the sense of the salvation of our God is now. And many more people can come to be saved now. And the reason that now is the time of this salvation is because Christ has not returned yet. In other words, it's not too late. And the reason for this salvation is that Christ has come and he's already died and he's already had suffered and carried our sin to the cross. And now he lives by the resurrection. We call it Easter. And so now is the time. It is from Easter to the second coming. Now is this time. It was now when Paul was alive. Guess what? It's still now. And this message of the gospel is given to God's people. And it's not meant to be wasted. It's not meant to be considered useless. It wasn't given for nothing. It was given for God's design so that people would not perish and have everlasting death. But what happens in Paul's lifetime is similar to what happens in the lives of people today. There are people who have died for the faith within our lifetime, and there will be more. In South Carolina, someone went into a church and killed people. What were they doing? They weren't playing poker. They weren't watching pornography. They were worshiping. They were in the Word. And this person comes in, and now we know some are dead. Now is the time to proclaim the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of death. Now is the time to talk to each other about why we know we have the gift of eternal life. What is going to happen when I die? Not that I have to have all the details, but I know that when I die, my soul will go to heaven. How about you? Do you know that? I think one of the blessings that pastors get to do, and it's at a funeral. Unfortunately, it waits until a funeral so often. It doesn't have to, but here at Grace, when we have a funeral service, I often include this part called the Child of God. And in that part of the worship service, we don't talk about how many brothers and sisters and the career path and how many promotions and, you know, what their income bracket was and things like that. What we talk about is how God made his presence known in and through this person that we're saying goodbye to. You see, the life details, y'all usually know that, or you can talk about and tell the family stories. But what is critical to lift up is how was this person's life an encouragement to those of us who knew them, to those of us who walked alongside, to those of us who witnessed. We had Robert and Lois here, members. They're both now, their souls are in heaven and their bodies have been laid to rest, former members, and I knew where they sat and I knew if they weren't here. Bob would come with a very painful back, and he would still come to worship. And Lois would come feeling miserable, and she would still come to worship. We had a lady by the name of Teresa here. Some of you who have been here around, you know who I'm talking about. Teresa had a debilitating illness that would lead to death. It was incurable, and she was in worship. The fact that she was here and Bob and Lois were here, you know, I didn't get to tell them often enough, but that inspired me. They came to hear about Jesus. They came to hear the Word of God. They came to receive the sacraments. Their very witness, when they could have stayed home in bed, taking medication, sometimes medication so strong it knocks you out, they could have done that, but they were in God's house. They were a witness to the rest of us who feel great, but didn't want to be here. Do you understand what I'm saying? Did they pat themselves on the back? No. Did they sit in the pew and say, look at me? No. Did they look down on anybody who didn't come, who made other choices? No. They were just simply walking their walk of faith by the grace of God, empowered by God to endure. And some of you here this morning, I know your stories too. And it's not easy to be here. And yet you're here. You're doing what Paul did in your life, where Paul endured and could have been criticized and could have said, well, why did you go to church? You know? Didn't it hurt? You go, yeah. Yeah. Why? Because you wanted to. Because you want to praise God. And there are people in our community who would say, boy, are you stupid. And yet, aren't you the wisest of all? Because you know the Lord your God, the creator of heaven and earth. You know your Savior, Jesus Christ, who redeemed you. You have the Holy Spirit who sanctifies you, who empowers you, who gives you faith. You have all of this. And the fact that you worship, it is not in vain. I think our church in this time, in this era, is really under great pressure to endure, to stay the course of what it means to do that which is uncomfortable when people around us in the community don't want us to stand strong. Whether it's we believe God's word is true from cover to cover, because that's not all that popular now. We believe that there's only one way of salvation. That's not politically correct now. And on the list goes. You know the list. I don't have to tell you it. But it is vital that as Paul inspired us in his journey, and I'm not a Paul and you're not Paul, but yet we have received God's grace. And because of that grace and the fact that God said, I didn't give you to you for nothing, you know, to do nothing, to sit on your bum and do nothing. I gave it to you to live in me. To honor, to worship, to glorify my name. To proclaim the presence of the kingdom of God in your very life, in your heart. And when I asked, what inspires you? I would hope that at times, not with arrogance, not with snotty attitude, and I don't mean sinus problems, okay? You'd look in the mirror and you go, God in my life inspires me to endure, to overcome, to conquer, even to suffer. That God inspires me to take the next breath, the next step, the next action, the next servant moment in your life, that you may glorify Him who redeemed you body and soul, who lifts you out of the despair and the fear of death and gives you the promise of everlasting life. What inspires you is the power of God in the people around you. What inspires you can be the very scriptures that you read. What inspires you is the sacrament, because someone could come to this rail and say, goodness, this stuff tastes awful, you know. But that's not what it's about, is it? Have you ever departed from the communion rail and went, wow? And it wasn't because you got a little liquor, okay, or a vino. Do you understand? What inspires you is God forgives you your sin. and remembers it no more. And he strengthens your faith. And he gives you that which you need for body and soul for this day, and he promises to be there for the tomorrow. God inspires us, empowers us, that we may be witnesses of the presence of the hand of God in our lives. So today, look in the mirror. Today, think of your family and friends. Who inspires you? I would encourage you to take a moment to tell people that you know, whom you love, how they have inspired you. Even if it's a long ago moment, share that with someone. Lift them up and encourage them to remain that inspiration. Don't put pressure on them, but just say, be who God has made you to be. And how God brings that together for the sake of the church. Because some days, when I'm feeling low, you inspire me. And I pray that there are days when you're low, that God works through me and Pastor Al to inspire you. To the glory of God, amen.